Friend, you need God. Whether you realize it or not, whether you know it or not, you need God in your life. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Come visit us. This morning on the program, I'm going to talk about why you need God, why I need God. We need someone when we're first born. When we're first born, we're under the doctor's care and the nurse's care and then our parents. We can't go it alone when we're born. We need someone to take care of us. And that doesn't stop. When we leave the hospital and when we grow up and leave our home, we still need someone to take care of us. And that someone is God. You know, in America today, roughly 90% of people believe in God. And that's an encouraging percentage. Now, to qualify that just a little bit, about 60% believe in the God of the Bible. The other 30% believe in some higher power, some spiritual force other than the God of the Bible. And then the 10%, of course, are unbelievers. Some would adjust that a little bit to 80% believing in God and 20% being unbelievers. But it gives you sort of a current landscape of what is going on with regard to people's beliefs in God or lack thereof. Are you among the 80 or 90% that believe in God? And among those, are you among those who actually believe in the God of the Bible, the one who's actually going to help us? The other is just simply fantasy, the idea of some higher spiritual force. Or are you among the 10 to 20% in this nation who have no belief in God? I would say that most of the people that listen to the Let the Bible Speak program on a regular basis on Saturday mornings, I would say that they tune in because they are already believers in God. So what I have to say this morning would be speaking to matters that you already agree with. But if by chance I'm speaking to someone in that 10 to 20% who does not believe in God, or may one day hear this recording, who is in that group, I hope that you will be encouraged by what I say, that you need God in your life. And for those who already believe that they need God in their life, I hope that this will be a good reminder and encouragement that who they have in their life is the one that they need to continue with as they go throughout their walk of life. We need someone when we're first born. We can't take care of ourselves. And we need God when we grow up. You know, in the Bible, in Psalm 10 and verse 4 and Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. There's always going to be those who don't want to have God in their life. And we're going to see this morning some examples of that. We're going to start with some quotations from individuals who do not believe they need God in their life. And then we're going to look at some examples of what happens when we don't have God in our life. And it's going to answer the question why we need God in our life. We can look around us and see evidence of why we need God in our life. If you see murders and crimes and sexual assaults, deviant behavior, criminality, mistreatment of individuals, that's not an accident. That's not just a coincidence. That's the direct result of somebody not having God in their life. Let's begin this morning by looking at some individuals who stated why they don't need God. The well-known architect Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "I believe in God, only I spell it nature." Stephen Roberts said, "When you understand why you dismiss all the other possible gods, you will understand why I dismiss yours." The great philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche said, "I call Christianity the one great curse, the one great intrinsic depravity, the one great intrinsic instinct for revenge, I call it the one mortal blemish of mankind." He goes on to say in another quote, "A casual stroll through the lunatic asylum shows that faith does not prove anything." H.L. Mencken said, quote, "Well, I tell you, if I have been wrong in my agnosticism, when I die, I will walk up to God in a manly way and say, 'Sir, I made an honest mistake.'" Of course, it'll be too late then for that individual. Richard Dawkins, the great evolutionist and scientist of our day, said, quote, "We are all atheists about most of the gods that societies have ever believed in. Some of us just go one god further." Bertrand Russell, the famous atheist of years gone by, said, "And if there was a god, I think it very unlikely that he would have such an uneasy vanity as to be offended by those who doubt his existence." Clarence Darrow said, quote, "I don't believe in God because I don't believe in Mother Goose." And we could go on and on. There are many quotations from famous atheists that we could present, but that gives you an idea of what some people have about the existence of God. Do you need God in your life? Do I need God in my life? According to these individuals, absolutely not. In fact, they would say that if you have God in your life, and especially Christianity in your life, it's going to cause a bunch of problems for people. Whereas I would argue the opposite. Christianity is not the problem. Atheism is. Christianity, as properly practiced in the New Testament, is not a problem. Atheism is. This morning, I want us to look at four areas of our life. When we take God out of our life in these four areas, it'll answer the question why we need God in our life. And this morning, friend, if you're struggling with that, if maybe you believe in God, but he's really not a part of your life, he's just sort of out on the fringe, let me encourage you to have a closer relationship with him as you read his word and obey it. Be a practicing believer, not just a nominal believer. If we want to come to God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that seek him. It's not enough just to believe there is a God, but we must seek him and obey him. So if you're listening this morning and you don't have God in your life, I hope that this lesson will encourage you to put him in your life. If you had him at one time and lost him, I would encourage you to put him back in place at the center of your heart. If he's already there, but he's on the fringe and he's not an integral part, I would encourage you this morning to move him to the center of your life and control every aspect. Like Jesus said, to love him with all of your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. That's the great commandment. It's foundational and fundamental. And if he is in the center of your life and he's governing every aspect of it, you will be blessed. You're to be encouraged for having him there. I hope this lesson will remind us to keep him there. What are four areas where we need God in our life and the absence of him shows why we need him? Well, We're going to look this morning at God's guidance, His governing, His guarding, and His giving. First of all, let's consider man when he tries to guide himself without God. Where does that lead him? Often mankind seeks wisdom and guidance, but on his own opinions and think-sos, or that of his friends or colleagues. And when left to their own devices, that causes many problems. You can turn to Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. The text says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In the book of Judges, there's a story of rape and a story of idolatry and other problems. And it's because people are doing that which is right in their own eyes. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 that it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. When he does that, that's the problems that we get into. Even if it's coming from a high court like the Supreme Court or anyone who is governing based upon their own human wisdom and it's not biblical in nature, when we're left to our own devices, we're going to implode. We're going to be destroyed from the inside out like other great nations, like Rome and other great nations. There was external enemies, but there was also internal corruption, and that's why great nations of the past have fallen. Men and women trying to govern their own, guide their own ways. Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of those ways is death. And so we find when we leave God out of our guidance, our direction, where we're going morally and spiritually and ethically, then there's a problem. Paul says so in Romans chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there. In Romans chapter 1, he's talking about the Gentile world around him who would not have God in their lives. By the way, the God of the Bible, they had gods, false gods, as we'll see. They had idols, but not the God of the Bible. And that's the problem with this percentage that I mentioned to you earlier. The latest research from the Pew Research Project shows that 80 to 90% of people in the U.S. believe in God, but that is not the God of the Bible. When you break that 80 to 90% down, maybe only 60% believe in the God of the Bible, the rest in some higher power. And so even believing in God is going to cause a problem if he is not the God of the Bible. And this is the exact same thing we find here in Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made. We can know about God by looking at the natural world around us. We can see design and know that there's a designer. Paul says, even his everlasting power and divinity. There's your design and designer. That they may be without excuse. Because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened. Look at that. Senseless heart was darkened. They are trying to guide themselves without God's word, and it just becomes vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart is darkened. It's going to lead to evil and wickedness. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And everybody who does this claims to be smart. You know, I've got a PhD, I'm a scientist, I'm a scholar, I'm a judge, I'm this and I'm that, and I've gone to this school and that school. They profess to be wise, but it's in their own human wisdom. It's not God's wisdom. So professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God. So it's not the God of the Bible. For the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So it's a belief in some higher power that's just simply a figment of man's imagination and not the one true God. And then we take that imagination of ours and put it into a physical form called an idol. Wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then, in verse 26, Paul goes on to describe homosexuality. For this cause God gave them up into vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And that which is being promoted today in society, homosexuality, it's a vile passion, Paul says, and it's when people leave God out of their lives. Oh, many of them say they believe in God, but they're not actually practicing that. And then verse 28, God refused to have them in their knowledge. Even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up. If you give God up, He'll give you up. Unto what? A reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful. So when we leave God out, there's going to be a problem. When we don't let Him guide us, there's going to be a problem. You and I need guidance from God's Word. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. The Scripture is inspired. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It makes us complete. It gives us instruction in righteousness and correction and reproof and rebuke. And that's what we need in our life. So, friend, you need God because you need God's guidance in His Word. Without it, we just slump into all kinds of unrighteous behavior. Number two, we need God in our lives. You need God in your life because of God's governing. Sometimes mankind seeks fairness and justice for wrongs that are often done, but they don't come in this life. Sometimes the murderer and the criminal gets off scot-free or very little punishment. Many people are being released today because of pleading insanity and they weren't in their right mind and this and that. All kinds of excuses are made for criminality. We need God in our lives because we need God's governing to bring justice, to bring all wrongs into judgment. And He uses civil government to do that. That's Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and following. When we have a breakdown in our society of civil government and law enforcement and the death penalty and those types of things, we're getting away from God's arm that He uses to keep evil in check. Civil government, Romans 13, verse 4, is a minister of God to thee for good. And Paul talks about there how civil government uses the death penalty, punishment against the evildoer. And this is a minister of God. In fact, Paul said earlier in chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, that we are to give place to the vengeance or the wrath of God. We're not to take personal revenge on individuals. And that's why we have law enforcement to step in. And every year in this society, every decade that goes by, and we see a breakdown in the support of good law enforcement, a good judicial system, the death penalty, we're just eroding the minister of God, the way in which God keeps evil in check. One way that he does that, one way that we appeal to the vengeance and the wrath of God, is through civil government. One thought in Romans 12, 17 through 21 extends into the next chapter, chapter 13, 1 through 7. The vengeance and the wrath of God is shown through civil government. Paul talks about the wrath of God in verse 19, and then when he is talking about civil government in chapter 13 and verse 4, he says, "For he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil." How does God show his wrath upon evil? One way is through civil government. You need God's governing justice to bring all wrongs into judgment. And he does that now through civil government, and we should not be eroding that. And in the judgment day, he will do that as well, and all wrongs will be righted then. Paul, speaking of the judgment day in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, says, "After your hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works." We need God because we need these wrongs to be righted, not only in this life, but in the life to come. One thing that keeps me believing not only in God, but in the coming judgment day and the coming judgment of God, is this matter of righting all wrongs. There are many things that happen in life where wrongs are committed, and people get by with that all the time. And if I did not believe in God or a coming judgment day, what a terrible world that we would live in, to know that those wrongs will never be brought to justice. Why care anymore? Just throw up our hands and quit. But we keep trying to live right because we know that one day those wrongs will be brought to justice. And so we need God's governing. Number three, we need God's guarding. Mankind faces many trials in life that are hurtful, and we need help in times of trouble. We need God's providential care. In him we live and move and have our very being, Acts 17, 24 through 28. And the peace of God can guard us, Philippians 4, verse 7. He will never fail us or forsake us or leave us, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. And as we go through life and we have to face these troubles and trials, we have help outside of us. We can get help from friends and family, but we have divine help to get us through these difficult situations. People are faced with cancer and illness and disease, economic problems, marriage problems, family problems, national problems. We have problems from natural disasters, hurricanes and fires and floods. Who helps us to get through these things but God? And so we need God's guarding. Otherwise, we just are left with nothing. And it's a very dark and depressing world. I feel for the atheist who has no one to turn to in time of trouble and trial. And then last of all, we need God's giving. Mankind can produce many modern technologies. We've got great cell phones and computers and the internet. But these things at the end of the day don't bring true inner peace and joy and fulfillment and love. We can do all kinds of great things. We can put a man on the moon. We can heal and do great types of surgeries. But man still seeks inner peace and fulfillment and love. And these cannot be fulfilled with technology. You need the gift of God's Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16. You need the gift of forgiveness of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. When you repent and are baptized, you can have forgiveness of sins. Technology can't do that. A cell phone can't do that, friend. Inner peace, inner joy, love. These things are brought about by God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. God does take care of us physically. He takes care of all of our physical needs. If we ask, He'll give us what we need. Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 32. He gives us rain and fruitful seasons. Acts 14, 17. Every good blessing comes down from Him. James 1, 17. And we're given everything that we need, Philippians 4, verse 19, by God. So even physical blessings come from God. And these things are not going to be brought about by technology alone. Contentment, Philippians 4, 11 through 13, is not brought about by technology. Inner peace, Philippians 4, 4 through 7, is not brought about by technology. Love, care, comfort, consolation, a clean conscience, these things are not brought about by technology. So we need God's giving of His Son Jesus and what we can have through Him. Friends, you need God. And I feel sorry for the atheist and the unbeliever. You need God, I need God, because we need His guidance, not our own human wisdom. We need His governing so that all wrongs will be righted. We need His guarding in times of trouble and trial. We need His giving because it is something that technology cannot give. Will you show that you need God this morning in your obedience to His Word? Let's get together and study and learn what we need to do to be right. Will you show that you need God in assembling for worship tomorrow on the Lord's Day? Come and worship with us in your prayers and in your Bible reading. You need God. Let us help you as we strive together to please Him. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and have a good day.